Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
We have got an outstanding weekend of sports headed this direction. I think one of the great sneaky times of sports in general is Masters weekend. And honestly, this week in general, because you got the NCAA title game on Monday, and then you slide right into the Masters on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. At the same time that the NHL and the NBA playoffs are both starting, and this year, as if that cornucopia of outstandingness was not enough, we also are throwing Game of Thrones into the mix, Season 8, Episode 1, all roaring back in together at once. And so, I put out the poll question, which I encourage all of you to go vote. You can find me on Twitter, at Clay Travis. If you could only watch one on Sunday, which do you pick? The Masters, the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, or Game of Thrones? And this thing is going to be wildly popular, and everybody's going to feel like their answer is by far the best. We had an incredible day yesterday at the Masters. This thing looks like it is going to be a battle for the ages when you look at the top of the leaderboard. I know one of you losers who's not going to stop talking about it was all over Bryson DeChambeau. Was it Roberto? His Masters
picks?
That's
right.
Yeah. There's a cottage industry of crazy Bryson DeChambeau fans on Twitter that won't stop tweeting me about Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know why you guys have fallen in love with him, but there's about 10 people on Twitter, it seems like, that are obsessed with Bryson DeChambeau. He is in first place. He and his old school member, what are those hats called? Kangol hats that he wears on top of his head during the games. Brooks Koepka, by the way, Brooks Koepka, maybe the most underrated athlete in his sport of all time. The guy has won, what, two of the last three majors or whatever the heck it is. He was 25-1 at the Masters. And coming into the Masters, all everybody could talk about was the fact that he supposedly lost 15 pounds for a photo shoot. And then he's out there ripping 350-yard drives at Augusta. I think he's probably going to be okay. Phil Mickelson, lefty, sliding in at -5 would be incredible. A couple of years ago, he came in second, put up a hell of a round. Ian Poulter, I thought Ian Poulter was like 75 years old now. Evidently, he's still pretty good. He's at -4. Dustin Johnson, who finds a way, it feels like, to be in the top 10 and choke away his chance to win almost every year in every golf event. But he's at -4. And then you just run through the list. And, of course, we don't have to go down too far. Just outside the top 10, Tiger Woods slides in at -2. Ricky Fowler is also there. Jason Day. I mean, there are a lot of big names at the top of this board. And worth noting, this is a pretty interesting stat. And yes, I watched all day pretty much that I could yesterday on the Masters. And I understand, by the way, that some of you are out there like, Masters.com is awesome. I want every hour of the Masters on regular television. And again, I understand that some of you out there love like streaming stuff onto your television, and that I'm probably an old man when I say this, but I've got an Apple TV and it drives me insane. Here's what I want, and maybe I am the exception here. I want to be able to pick up my remote, turn on my television, and easily find sporting events on television. I don't want to have to use one of my four remotes to work through on my Apple TV and search for everything. I'm fine, by the way, finding... Is this just me, or does most everything else work easier than the remote does to get, like, digital things on television? Like, I've got a web-enabled television in my bedroom. Trying to get Netflix on that thing drives me insane because I have to remember my passwords and I have to log in, and that password's different than the WWE Network, which is different than the Xbox. I don't want all this complication in my life. I want to be able to push one button, boom, whatever I want to watch comes on. So I'm old school in that respect. So the fact that the Masters is available streaming on Masters.com and I have that app and I can try to follow it down and track it and everything else, I don't want that. I want the Masters on regular television. Maybe that makes me an old man. But the fact that I didn't get to watch but about four of Tiger's holes yesterday on regular television as he was making a run, old school Tiger style, was pretty disappointing to me. And I think the Masters should come into the future and actually allow that to happen. But important stat for you. In the last 13 Masters, the champion overall finished in the top 10 on Thursday. In the last 13 Masters, think about this. Everybody says, well, it's just Thursday. You still got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, everything else. But in the last 13 Masters, the champion finished Thursday in the top 10. If that continues, then your Masters champion will be one of these 10 golfers. Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Ian Poulter, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Harding, Adam Scott, John Rahm, Kisner, and somebody named Affy Barnrat. I don't know who Affy Barnrat is, but that is, and I'm sure that I am totally mangling his name. Does anybody, am I screwing that up? Tiger tied for 11th right outside of the top 10. All right, and the poll question that I'm going to bring in the crew to find out what they would want to do. Let me give you a roadmap of where we're headed on the show today. My guy Lance Taylor is going to join us in the next couple of minutes in the next segment. Hour two, Jeff Schwartz will join us. And in hour three, we will be joined by Chad Withrow, my buddy, and he will actually be down at the Masters as tee is about to happen on Friday. He's going to be down there for Friday and Saturday. So we'll get an on-the-ground Augusta report. And supposedly, the weather is such down at Augusta that they are thinking they may not finish it on Sunday. So it may be Monday before the Masters is actually completed. And I think the stat is it hasn't been since the early 1980s that they've had to actually finish the Masters on a Monday. So you can put that in as a potential outcome here as well. All right, over 1,000 of you have voted in the first 8 minutes that I have put this poll question up. Awesome TV weekend coming. You can only watch one on Sunday. Masters, Game of Thrones, NBA playoffs, or the NHL playoffs. 50% of you are saying you would pick the Masters. 34% of you are going Game of Thrones. 8% for the NBA playoffs and 8% for the NHL playoffs, with 1,000 or so votes that have been cast so far. Danny G, which one are you drafting? You can only watch one.
Damn it. This is hard because imagine Tiger still in it on Sunday and it coming down to the wire. It would be really tough to not be able to watch. Although, how can you not have Game of Thrones on Sunday night?
The only answer.
It's got to be Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I go Game of Thrones, too. And look, even though I make a living talking about sports, we're doing an hour on Game of Thrones. I'm going to write on Game of Thrones. I'm going to watch. I'll do an immediate reaction show on Game of Thrones. And the Masters will always be there. And I understand people say, well, you can watch Game of Thrones on Monday. I don't feel like you can. The reality is that if you don't watch Game of Thrones within an hour probably of it airing, and I'm curious for you guys on the West Coast, will you watch the East Coast version of Game of Thrones or will you wait for the West Coast HBO?
Because of our sleeping pattern, we're going to watch the East Coast feed.
Yeah, which will be what, at 5 o'clock your time?
6 p.m. our time.
Yeah, 6 p.m. your time. All right, where would you go, Dub?
Well, first of all, put some respect on my boy Kiriak Affy Barnrat's name, okay? That's the Thailand tank. He's coming. He's making a run. All right?
How did I pronounce it? Affy Barnrat?
You were close.
I think it's so much better if he pronounces it in English style with Affy Barnrat. I'm like, that's a cool name. So, Dub, which way are you going?
I mean, I'm going Game of Thrones. I'm going to go outside, do a little rain dance so we get Master Sunday on Monday.
Oh, that'll be a good break.
And then we don't even have to worry about it.
Is that, am I not too far out, right? They're forecasting that it might be Monday before the Masters gets finished because of the weather coming in?
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be pretty wet this weekend in Augusta.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Eddie Garcia? Where are you going?
Well, you know that I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet, and I plan to do a gigantic binge-watching session at some point and watch all the episodes. So it's hard for me to answer this because if I had been caught up, I'm sure I would be foaming at the mouth to watch the latest episode. And even though I'm a huge NHL fan, and I think sports, if you don't watch them live, you know, you can't go back and watch them like you can a TV show. Despite all that, I will finally get to my answer. I would watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you know, it also is interesting, I think, for NBA and NHL playoffs. It's unlikely that whatever happens on, we'll say, Saturday or Sunday is going to guarantee you what happens in the overall series.
Right, there are no Game 7s on
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, your team can win or lose, but they're still going to have to win or lose three more games in order for the series to be over. The Masters, I think, is by far on Sunday the most compelling of the television viewing options. Even if you don't like golf, if you got all these top guys at the top of the leaderboard, I mean, imagine if we got almost like when Federer and Nadal have played in the last year or so. It's been like, man, this is such a throwback. I can't believe we're getting this again, right? I feel like, can you imagine how amazing it would be if Sunday Tiger and Phil are both hanging around the top five and we get Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson throwback, you know, 2019 Masters old school where both those guys are out still dueling in Augusta. I feel like there are a lot of golf fans that would love that to go back in time, you know, a decade, 15 years to win those guys going head to head. If you're a young person, you don't even remember how heated that rivalry was and how everybody basically in the country was either a Tiger guy or a Phil guy, right? I mean, you just had to decide. You had to pick one or the other and roll with them, and that was a compelling rivalry in the world of golf. If we got a little bit of a throwback to that on Sunday and through the weekend in the Masters, that would be pretty phenomenal. All right, Roberto, Mr. Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau, baby.
Yeah. You and the Bryson DeChambeau boys who are constantly berating me on Twitter. When I saw that Bryson DeChambeau was going to be number one on Twitter on the Thursday edition of the Masters, I was like, I don't even want to check Twitter because the Bryson DeChambeau fanboys are just going to be blowing me up for not saying that I was going to pick him.
Game of Thrones, baby, all the way. I went back yesterday and watched the first episode again, and it's awesome.
You know what? That's actually the very first episode you went back and watched. That's actually a cool idea because I wonder if there could be, you know, for instance, in Lost, if you went back and watched the opener of Lost, it tied in completely with the close of Lost.
They bring it back full circle.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something that you could pick up on in the very first episode where you're like, oh, wow, this is incredible the way it circled back around.
Yeah, it's great, man. Daenerys Targaryen, oof, smoking.
Literally. Yeah. Often smoking.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All is not well in the world of sports. I didn't even put Major League Baseball down as the focal point going into the weekend, but I feel like this has reached epic, unbelievable. This is the worst thing we've seen ever. Chris Davis. Who, somebody look up what Chris Davis's contract for me is and hop in here in a minute and let me know. Chris Davis is now 0 for 53. He has not gotten a base hit since September 14th for the Baltimore Orioles. And this is not some journeyman, hey, like guy trying to avoid getting sent back down to the minor leagues. This guy has over $100 million contract. This is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe, the worst contract ever signed in the history of American pro sports. And this guy, I think, is still owed like $70 million on his deal. Danny G, what's his contract status?
Man, yeah, he signed a seven-year, $161 million contract, an annual average of $23 million. Davis will earn a base salary of $17 million while carrying a total salary of $21,118,000.
This year?
Yes.
So, I mean, you can't send somebody making $21 million back down to minor league baseball. But how in the world do you possibly deal with this when you've hit 0 for 53? And to put that into perspective, no one in the history of Major League Baseball, and they've been playing baseball for a long ass time, right? You go back and look at the stats going all the way back to the early 1900s. Nobody in the history of Major League Baseball has ever gone 0 for 53. I mean, this guy has done something that no other hitter has ever accomplished. Now, you can say, well, most people who are this bad wouldn't get to keep coming back up to bat. So I guess that's the one positive you can say about Chris Davis, is that he's good enough to get to come up to bat 53 straight times and know that he's going to get to come up and bat a 54th time. But this is something that's never happened before, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably unlikely that he's going to square up and try to get a bunt, but I feel like I pitched last night, right, in our
little league. Oh, that's right. How did that go? Did they rack off you?
We lost by one run, I think it was. But I'll tell you this. That's as stressed as I have been in a long time in the world of sports. To be standing out there, if you're a little league dad that you have to pitch for coach pitch little league, and you get a limited number of pitches. And so when you get down to that final pitch, like, you can definitely feel the tension in your arm. Like, you don't want to short arm it and bounce it or make a bad throw so that the kids can't hit it.
But did you brush any of your kids off the plate?
I almost hit one of them. I was afraid he might charge the mound. You know, that's the other thing, is you don't want to get it too close to him and terrify him and hit him. So I wasn't – I mean, obviously, I'm not throwing very hard. I was actually probably throwing too soft to start with, because I'm like, I don't want to mess up.
You know what, Clay? The best part about Chris Davis' contract, he's got the $42 million deferred money until 2037.
So the Orioles are going to be – it's like the Bobby Bonilla contract,
yeah, exactly,
where the Orioles are going to be paying him for the rest of his life, in addition to the fact that he stinks. That is
and
just
he's hitless in 61 plate appearances.
Hitless in 61, so that he's gotten some fielder's choices, right?
Exactly,
so like,
yeah,
those don't count as or walks or whatever else. But he's gotten an out in 53 straight, and he's been up 61 times
exactly,
and not gotten a hit.
Now, let me ask you this: would, if you're a pitcher as you were last night, would you groove him one if your team was up by, say, 5, 6, 7 runs?
It's a great. I mean, especially if you knew him, right?
Yeah,
a lot of these guys know each other from minor league baseball.
It's mental. It's mental at this point. He needs a sports psychologist, right?
Yeah, I'd be tempted. I honestly would be, especially if I knew him. I would be tempted to just groove him one right down the center of the plate and let him get a hit, because I think it's just so brutal to watch this thing continue. And I can't even imagine, if you're in the locker room like with him, what do you say? Like, you're literally batting zero.
Keep your head up, kid.
September 14th.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it just takes that one hit too. Imagine if he went on a hitting streak after that.
Yeah, he turned into DiMaggio. He went straight. It'd be amazing. He went straight from 0 for 53 to making a run at the 56 game mortal hitting streak of Joe DiMaggio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We've got four options for you up in the poll question this weekend, Sunday in particular. Looks like the Masters is set up for a spectacular Masters. The number of big names up at the top of the leaderboard, whether it is Phil Mickelson, whether it is Tiger Woods, whether it is Brooks Koepka, whoever is out there that you like, probably a good chance that they are within hailing distance of the top of the Masters leaderboard. A lot of big numbers posted yesterday in terms of good numbers, not big numbers in terms of overwhelming bad numbers. But the Masters, as we roll into the weekend, looks like there may be some weather conditions, but also looks like the Masters could be must-see television viewing. Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1, debuting on Sunday evening. The NBA playoffs are underway, and the NHL playoffs will be underway as well. All of that, nearly 6,000 of you have voted in the first hour. You can go vote at Clay Travis, put in your verdict. 53% of you are saying if you could only watch one on Sunday, it would be the Masters. 33% of you are saying you would watch Game of Thrones. 8% of you are picking the NHL playoffs, which, by the way, there have been 8 NHL playoff games now. The underdog has won 4. the favorite has won four. Nothing better when you think about in terms of unlikely outcomes or underdogs winning the games. The NHL playoffs are thoroughly unpredictable. What has typically been very predictable has been the NBA playoffs, with which they are getting 6% of the vote overall. We polled this crew here on the Outkick Universe, and everybody who's on the show said they would go with Game of Thrones, even Eddie Garcia, who has not watched a single episode of Game of Thrones, really, not plugged in there. He said, given how much Game of Thrones matters, you go Game of Thrones. All right, so with that in mind, Dub, who doesn't do very much when it comes to actually doing his job because the phones typically don't work very well, and that is his bailiwick, that is his responsibility. He won the right to conduct a couple of different segments of his own. He has decided to make those segments Game of Thrones influenced. By the way, if you're just starting off with us, hour one, great interview with Lance Taylor. Encourage you to download the podcast. Hour two, we'll talk to our guy Jeff Schwartz in the next segment. And then in hour three, we're going to go down to Augusta. My guy Chad Withrow is going to be there on scene at the Masters. We will talk with him about the Masters day two, which will be teeing off about time he hops on the phone with us. But first, before we go to Dub for his segment, I believe we have a clip that Danny G has put together in honor of Game of Thrones returning. I don't know what it sounds like, but he tells me it's good. Hit the button, Danny G.
Clay, really quick, I went into the lab and I produced this yesterday because I figured for our listeners, there's only one show that you anticipate more than Game of Thrones.
Four years in the making.
4 years I have been trying to do something that should be relatively straightforward. They haven't worked for 4 years. I swear to God, I am going to be furious.
Yeah, I'm here, baby.
Talk!
Topping the ratings.
This is the best part of my whole week.
Game of Phones.
Here's my advice to callers. Pretend that I am talking to you every single time I go to a caller.
Clay Travis wants the Iron Radio Throne.
God! I can't deal with it!
He'll fight for it.
No, I'm going to lose a call. I'm not even going to get on my phone right now because I know I'm going to lose it.
He'll murder for it.
Clay Travis.
Can you hear me? I am very tempted right now to get into my car,
can you hear me?
Drive to the studio in Nashville, and choke to death whoever is in charge of our technology.
Game of Phones.
Yes or no?
Just like this Sunday night on HBO, nobody knows how it'll end.
I am close to making the executive decision that we will no longer take calls on this show. That is phenomenal. That is really well done. Danny G making a play there with the Game of Phones. My ongoing battle with our four-year
That's
battle.
That's great,
now.
Man.
Four-year battle. There have been kids that were not in high school yet that are graduating this year. That's how long I've been feuding with the phones. That is incredibly well done. Dub, you're now, I don't know, I'm going to be honest with you, Dub, that's a hell of a lead-in. I don't know if you're going to be able to live up to it.
First of all, bravo, Danny G. That was incredible. And yes, you're correct, Clay. That is tough to follow up there. But we're back into Game of Thrones. It's what we all love. It's probably something we can talk about better and enjoy more than talking about sports, honestly, even in this great week that we have. But I saw a clip that you retweeted yesterday, Clay, from your television show. And did I see correctly that Bran is now a minus money favorite to be on the Iron Throne, according
to
the odds you used yesterday?
There's obviously a bunch of different places that have different odds, so there's a lot of variation. But Bran is the favorite to end up on the Iron Throne.
That just doesn't sit well with me. I don't know. I just don't like that storyline. I agree with
Lance Taylor said
earlier today.
That was one of his least favorite parts of Game of Thrones was the entire Bran storyline.
Yeah, exactly. But there's going to be a lot of death this season. That is not even a spoiler alert. Everyone knows that. Everyone that's seen the show knows that. So I want to start with the Lannister clan, okay?
Yes.
Which Lannister will die first? Cersei comes in as a minus 115 favorite, Jaime plus 160, and then Tyrion at plus 250.
So Cersei, I feel like very confident that she is going to die somehow. And the question is, who is going to kill her? Is it going to, and I think it's going to be, my prediction is it's going to be Jaime. that Jamie is going to kill her. And I, Jamie has been, if you follow the show from the moment that it began in season one to now, I think there's a strong argument that Jamie has made the best, you know, kind of trajectory in terms of becoming likable. Does that make sense? Like, everybody has different character arcs, but to me, Jamie on the show has gone from utterly irredeemable and thoroughly unlikable. And in fact, spoiler alert, but this is all spoiler alerts. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones or you're behind, you shouldn't be listening to this anyway. When he shoves Bran off the castle wall in, you know, in season one while having sex with his sister, I'm not sure that there's ever been a more revolting moment in the history of popular television. When you think about it, this is a guy having sex with his sister who shoves a young child off of a castle wall and almost kills him. And by the way, we never have had any kind of confrontation between those two, which now theoretically might happen at Winterfell as well. So, but Jamie now is like a really nice guy. And you're like, well, I can kind of overlook the incest and the near murder of children. And he's kind of a nice guy. So would you agree with me that his character arc, his trajectory, is maybe the most redeemable in all of Game of Thrones?
Definitely the most redeemable by far. And I think it's one of the two more interesting ones, and the other one being Arya. I mean, her arc is unbelievable. Start seeing where she was in the early seasons and then seeing her go, what she went through, the training she did, if you want to call it that, her spending time with the Hound, the Faceless Men. And now, truth be told, she is probably by far my personal favorite character on the show.
Yeah, so Arya to me, like LT was saying that he was frustrated with the Bran storyline. Arya's storyline to me took way too long. Like the training and everything. Now maybe there's going to be a substantial payoff, but I found Arya's storyline to be one of the least interesting of the overall. You know, when they were on the road for a long time with the Hound and nothing much seemed to be happening, and then the Faceless Men and everything else, I found that to be not that satisfying. Now, the payoff may be incredible, but that would be the part of Game of Thrones that I felt like dragged a bit. All right, what else you got me in the odds?
All right, we'll stick with Arya. Now, she is just an absolute slayer nowadays. How many people will Arya kill this upcoming season? The over-under is set at 3.5.
Oh, that's interesting. 3.5. So I think the interesting question about this is she going to be in battle? Because if she's in battle, she could Jon Snow a bunch of people, right? Or is this like face-to-face, like paying revenge? Because I think if you could count potentially battle or one of those scenarios, that over 3.5 would be the play.
I feel like to me, personally, just knowing her character, I don't think she's going to be in the thick of the battle. She's yeah. more of a stealthy killer, if you will. Which leads me into my next one, her list. Now, we got a few names on her list that have still that are still living. We got Cersei, Melisandre, the Hound, Isla Payne, Beric Dondarrion, and the Mountain. Now, this one is who will she kill first, but I just kind of want to go down the list because there's some names on here that she potentially won't be able to kill. Starting with Cersei, like you said, you think Jaime Lannister has a good chance of killing her. And then the Hound and the Mountain are both on their list. And to me, I think the Hound and the Mountain may kill each other when we get to the Clegane
Bowl. I think
the
Hound will kill the Mountain. It's possible they both die. And I don't think there's any way that Arya actually kills the Hound, right? Like that, their kind of relationship is such that I think there's a 0% chance that that happens.
Yeah, looking at that list, I'm starting to think that maybe there's only 2-3 max people that from her list that she will actually kill.
Yeah, that's why I think the wild card here is whether she's involved in any sort of battle scene where she could kill multiple people.
Okay, moving on, the Clegane Bowl. This is one has to do with what episode it will take place in. Episodes 1-4 or episode 5 and 6? What do you think? Do they do it early or do they save it for the final 2 episodes?
Well, they have to be in the same place, right? And if I'm not mistaken, when we last left them, we know that that the Mountain is protecting Cersei, right? So
correct.
He's still back in back there at the palace. And I don't know where I can't even remember. Wasn't the Hound still traveling? Was he at Winterfell?
Well, they all met in the Dragon Stadium in the last episode, and they met face-to-face for a brief moment, like I mentioned yesterday. And the Hound said something along the lines of, you know who's coming for you. Something like that. So I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly if they're still there, if the Hound has moved on somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's the question. So I would go late. I think that's going to be a late scene.
Now, here's one that I found very interesting. Will the Night King be confirmed as a Stark? And the reason it's so interesting is yes is labeled at minus 500.
Wow.
And no is plus 350. So it is basically a lock that during this season we will find out that the Night King is a Stark. And I did a little research because I was kind of unsure on why they were such a heavy favorite. But if you go to the books, the actual text, which Game of Thrones is based on, old Nan has a quote in there. And she says, some say he was a Bolton. Some say he was a Magnar. Some say Limber, Flint, or Nori. But if you keep going down, she says he was a Stark, the brother of the man who brought him down. So from the book, a direct quote from old Nan, who is known for her wise words, her wisdom of predicting things, she claims in the books that the Night King is in fact a Stark.
It's also interesting because that would tie in with the clip that they showed to be, you know, like the preview of the season where they're walking in the crypts underneath Winterfell. That would also tie in with the idea that he might have the power to resurrect the Starks underneath the underneath Winterfell, right? That he would in some way be comfortable with the historic home of the Starks.
And I think it also kind of goes with your prediction of that happening early on. I think you said that may happen in the first episode.
Yeah, it wouldn't stun me.
Because he would know exactly where those crypts are if he was in fact a Stark, and that would be one of the first places you would think he would go to, because not everyone knows that that even exists. So that happening in episode one would totally, you know, go along the lines with that theory.
It would also be, can you imagine at the end of episode one, if it was, like if the episode one ended with the Night King going into the Stark family crypt and raising them all from the dead, like can you imagine like that ending? Just being like suddenly Ned Stark comes wobbling out as a White Walker, like everybody would be like, holy, you know. Like,
I mean, my expectations for each ending of each episode, and these are very high expectations, but Game of Thrones has absolutely earned this. I mean, I'm expecting every single ending of each episode for me to just being sitting on the edge of my couch with my mouth literally wide open, thinking to myself, what is going on?
Yeah.
What just happened?
No,
I mean,
agree.
That's what I'm expecting fully. All right, let's get down to some to some survivors. Will Daenerys Targaryen survive the final season? Yes or no?
No, I don't think she will.
Will Tyrion Lannister survive the final season?
I would like to think that he will. I think that he will not.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, Tyrion is
What do the odds makers say on these?
So Daenerys was basically was minus 115, yes and no. Tyrion, no, was a minus 140 favorite, yes, was plus 110.
So still really even, basically. Like that to me says they're going to go into the final episode with their fates uncertain.
Yeah, and then finally, last one, odds to rule Westeros. I know you've gone over it before, but let's go over it one more time. Who do you believe will be sitting on the Iron Throne?
My prediction is that Daenerys and Jon Snow are going to have a child. I think that there is a good chance that both of them die, and that that child then is the king in waiting, and that Bran will be the next highest claim to the throne, and he will be basically like the king regent, the guy who sits on the throne and mentors the upcoming child. So that's my prediction for how this thing ends.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something that's not predictable. I don't think it's going to be Jon Snow. I don't think it's going to be Daenerys. So it's going to be something.
They're not going to be like the ending of Game of Thrones is not going to be incredibly happy, I don't think. So it's not like, you know, oh, and then Jon Snow and Daenerys lived happily ever after and ruled the kingdoms flawlessly for all their days, right? Like one of them at minimum will die. I think potentially both. It wouldn't stun me if Jon and Daenerys have a baby and Daenerys dies giving birth to the baby, and then Jon is ultimately dies in some way as well, and then we're left with Bran sitting on the throne. It also wouldn't stun me if Jon Snow is on the throne, but I feel like Daenerys maybe dying in birth would be kind of a huge circle for her character, because she gave birth to the Mother of Dragons. She doesn't think that she can have children. And it would also tie back in a little bit with the Targaryen side, and also tie in with Tyrion, who killed his mom when he was born. Like, I think there's just a lot of circular storylines here.
If I was actually betting this, I think I would pick Sansa, because to me, I feel relatively as confident as you can in someone not dying this season. And I think she might just be the last one standing. So I'm gonna go with Sansa Stark.
All right. I mean, that would be a huge upset. Sansa, to me, is one of the least likable characters because she hasn't been in control of her own story. Like, things just bad happen to her. But obviously, she's starting to take control now. Are those the end of the odd segments here?
That'll do it.
That's nice. Pretty good.
Yeah, good job, Dub.
Suck it, Vols. Go Auburn.
War Eagle.
All right, thank you. We're going to be joined by Jeff Schwartz coming up next. In the meantime, do it right. Get your garden growing by shopping Lowe's Spring Black Friday sale. You'll find great deals throughout the store, like 5 bags of Miracle-Gro all-purpose garden soil for just $10. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer through 4/17, not valid in Alaska or Hawaii. See store for details, U.S. only. By the way, Monday, hour 2 of this show will be devoted to breaking down whatever happens in game 1 of Game of Thrones. So just so you know out there, everybody needs to watch it on Sunday night. Going to be a massive television viewership. Monday, we will start off the show with whatever happens over the weekend. And then in hour 2 for the next 6 weeks on Monday, Game of Thrones breakdown.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We bring in Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, question that's up for the poll question of the day. What are you most excited for this weekend? NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the Masters, or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, easily. I mean, that's not even really a question. And then the only thing on Sunday is that if Tiger's in the final pairing, I'll pay probably closer attention to golf. And I bet on 3 golfers. So one of them is, there's 2 of them are doing pretty good right now. Game of Thrones, 1,000%. I've watched season 7 recaps. I haven't read any spoilers. I've watched recaps. I'm ready to go, man. I've read stuff about to catch up to make sure I remember everything. I've read some theories about how it might end, but I'm ready to go.
Does your wife watch Game of Thrones too?
No, it's the weirdest thing. So she doesn't really care so much now, but it's the only show where I leave the bedroom at 9 o'clock, right? Just like, I'm not going to stay in here. I'm out. And for a while there, she would get upset that I would leave for whatever odd reason. She didn't want to watch a show with me. She doesn't care if I go watch sports, but for a long time, she used to give me grief for leaving. Now she doesn't care. Now I'm having people over Sunday. We're going to go watch it upstairs and not worry about it. But it's weird. I don't know why she would care.
You also said, that's interesting, that this is such a huge topic in NFL locker rooms. Like, everybody in NFL locker rooms watches Game of Thrones. And so this, whenever there was a new episode, if it were airing during football season or whatever, everybody would sit around and talk about it.
Yeah, so it typically is in the off season, right? So it was, April, May, June. Yep. And everyone coming Monday, and everyone would talk about it. But, if you didn't watch it, this is what something that I kind of piggybacked off your topic about how this is live sporting event. There's no spoilers.
Yes.
You either watch or you don't. So guys would come in the locker room and be like, yo, I didn't watch it, so just exclude me from conversations. And we're like, all right, sure. But the idea that you can sit this one out on Sunday night and then expect people to not talk about it on Monday, that's on you, man. The burden's on you to ignore it, find a way to stay on social media, tell your buddies don't talk to you about it. But, 50 million people are going to watch this thing on Sunday night. And so you have to be prepared to talk about it on Monday morning.
Yeah, it's funny. Nobody, and that's my argument. I said, nobody out there in our listening audience at all, if we came in on Monday and I was like, hey, the AFC championship game and the NFC championship game happened last night, but I know some of you had to work and you had other obligations, and so you didn't get to watch it. So we're not going to talk about that to give you another day to watch it. I would be the dumbest decision that anybody in sports talk radio had ever made, right? Or
right.
The day after the Super Bowl, I was like, hey, I know some of you have to work Sunday evening, so we're going to wait till Tuesday to talk about what happened in the Super Bowl just to make sure everybody's caught up. No, you watch sports live, and we talk about it the next day. That's how this show works. Game of Thrones, to me, is a sporting event. I said earlier, the only 3 things that have aired this year so far, which will have more viewers than Game of Thrones, are the Super Bowl, the AFC, and the NFC Championship game.
Correct.
What did we lead our show with every day immediately after those aired? All 3 of those, right? So
correct.
We're not even leading the show with it. We're giving people an hour. But an hour 2 on every Monday for the next 6 weeks, we will be breaking down Game of Thrones.
As you should. It's that big of a cultural event. And I'm just worried that this episode won't live up to the hype, because we know in the show typically the first episode of every season has some good stuff, but then it kind of lulls off for about three episodes and then comes strong to finish. It's only six episodes, so it's got to come fast. And the way the odds have moved so drastically for Bran to end up on the Iron Throne, it's going to be madness, I think. It's going to be – who knows what's going to happen. I can't wait to watch it.
Here's my theory. I think that Game of Thrones is so sophisticated that they know that this is going to be a big topic for gambling, and that it's possible they are manipulating the gambling markets.
100%.
Because you could, if you're spending $10 million an episode per episode, which these guys are doing, right? That's what evidently the final, or maybe $15 million or whatever the cost is per episode down the stretch. Have you seen the dollar figure?
Well, they said that they spent $11 million on one fight scene. It took like 8 months to film.
Yeah.
Like the final fight scene or whatever it was, yeah.
So, I mean, this is just different level production cost. You could probably manipulate all of the Game of Thrones odds markets by spending $300,000, right? So why wouldn't you do that? And by the way, there's like 100 people who know how this thing ends. Supposedly they shot alternative endings. So there's not even 100% certainty if you were involved in shooting the final scenes that you know exactly how it ends, because it might have been they were doing another scene. But they supposedly signed the most ironclad non-disclosure agreements imaginable. But like, you could get sued to the end of the earth, and like, you'll never have another dollar for the rest of your life if you reveal what actually happens beforehand.
I don't think there's actually that many people. If you filmed a couple alternate endings, right, the editor probably knows, a couple editors know, the director probably knows, the producer knows. I'm not even sure the actors and actresses even know how it ends. And you're right, look, the offshore markets, we know this, the offshore markets can wildly fluctuate. So, you know, 3 weeks ago, Bran was like plus 1,200. Now he's like 4 to 5 to beat Sir Iron Throne, which I don't even know if he could technically do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the offshore books can then decide how they want to grade that wager. But look, we have, like, Littlefinger is like the fifth best odds. He's supposed to be dead right now. So
right.
We have, so I think it's just, they fluctuate. But look, they stopped filming a month ago. They had the first show, they aired the first show in like a select audience in Los Angeles. And since that day, Bran's odds have shot all the way up. So maybe in the first episode we learn more about what he's been doing for the last 3 years and what he can control and what he can't control. But it's wild, and like I said, it's I can't wait to watch it. And look, we might have Tiger on Sunday in the final pairing, and Monday morning people are going to be talking about Game of Thrones and not golf.
What is funny also, so they have aired the first episode for a select audience.
Yes.
I heard secondhand that I didn't want to hear any spoilers, but just that there was a bloodbath in episode one, that there was a lot of death.
they have to start killing characters. See, there's a universe I can see in this ending where, because things happen so drastically in this show, things you don't expect, where I can see an ending where everyone dies and the Night King is just sitting on Iron Throne to end the show. I mean, I could see that being the thing, and then the kind of society starts over again. If you remember when Daenerys and Jon went into the cave and they saw the drawings on the cave, and that's what it was. The White Walkers came in, killed everyone, and they left and started a new civilization. I could see that being the ending. We just come in and kill everybody and then just start over, and like, whoever's left just starts a new society.
Yeah, that would be intriguing, and it would be a way to prolong Game of Thrones, right? The thing that's maybe most stunning to me is that HBO has created this cultural leviathan, this moment that is going to bring as many people basically as you can bring together to watch a show possible, and then they're just going to suddenly end it. Now, I know they're doing prequels and everything else, but the one constant has been major media companies want these franchises to be able to build on in the future, whether it's Marvel with all the superhero movies, whether it's Star Wars with all the different spinoffs that we've seen in the Star Wars universe, all of these different things tie together, and they want the opportunity to continue to stitch these stories together. Whereas back in the day, and I think George Lucas would probably say this too, like in George Lucas's mind, art has a finite end, right? You
right, yeah.
create a storyline, and the initial idea was Star Wars episodes 1 through 9, and then it would be over. I mean, I think at this point in time, we're into now a universe where you can argue Star Wars will never end, right? Like Luke and Leia and Han Solo are gone, but the overall arc of the Star Wars universe is going to continue forever because there is a huge market that is demanding for it to continue. Who out there is like, man, I really want Game of Thrones to end right now?
I would be okay with it, I think. I mean, you're going to have to basically view... do spinoffs and movies and whatnot. You're going to have introduce new characters, obviously, because everyone's might die in this whole season. But I'm okay with shows ending. I'm okay. It was not a movie series, right? It's not Avengers that I know this is supposed to be the last one, but we know it's not going to be that coming out soon. By the way, 3 hours, really? You have to make a movie 3 hours.
Is that how long Avengers is?
Yeah, Endgame is like 3 hours and 1 minute.
Oh, I didn't know that. We bought our tickets. So that weekend.
I'm not that big.
That's NFL draft weekend, right?
I am not a movie guy. Like, I'll watch it when I see it.
Probably we got – so my kids are all obsessed with superheroes. So we are – that weekend, I believe – I think I'm correct that Avengers Endgame is coming out the weekend of the NFL draft. And – the NFL draft is happening here in my hometown in Nashville. So I'm going to take the boys. We'll be down for some of the events on Thursday, Friday. And then we're going to go. I love the dine-in theater. So we take the kids. Sunday or Saturday. I'm not sure which one. One of the weekend days, either Saturday or Sunday, my wife has got dine-in lunch, tickets. So we're going to go and we'll kick back. And I didn't realize it was 3 hours. But what's amazing is my kids, even my four-year-old, are so invested that they will sit there in the theater and watch all 4 hours and not make a – or 3 hours or whatever it is and not make a peep. Like, I mean, they will be so invested in it.
My son likes that. We just haven't really gotten into that yet. I mean, the action feature, whatever, live feature, whatever you call it, the new Lion King, I'll take him to see that when it comes out in July. But he's not in the superhero thing. Like, him and his buddies play, like – superheroes, but I don't know. He's not really been like, I want to go see Avengers or I want to go see.
Has he seen the new Spider-Man, the Into the Spider-Verse?
No.
Oh, I mean, we have watched that and listened to the soundtrack. Like, when I finish this show this morning in an hour and I leave my studio here and go downstairs to where my kids are, there's almost 100% chance that my four-year-old will be streaming the soundtrack for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse while also watching Spider-Man. Into the Spider-Man. It won an Oscar. I mean, it's phenomenally well done. I mean, really legitimately a great show.
I got my son watches Nick Jr. He likes those shows. He likes to watch sports with me. And then my daughter likes Disney movies. Like, she loves Mermaid and Lion King, and she likes to sing, which is not a Disney movie, but nonetheless, she likes watching movies. My son likes watching cartoons.
All right, last question for you. Let's circle back around. The NFL draft is going to be going on in basically what, like 13 days? Something like that, I think. A little bit less than two weeks.
2 weeks from yesterday, yeah.
What would you have told Joey Bosa? Because Nick Bosa. This story has blown up. You know, like, he's a Trump guy, and he has liked a lot of Trump tweets and variety of things, and he goes and he just decides, you know what? The 49ers may be drafting me, and so he scrubs his Twitter account of politics. Smart move, dumb move, what advice would you have given him there?
A couple of things here. One is that I would have told him to not delete the tweets, because I feel like, or at least delete them and not tell anybody. I feel like it's actually been a bigger deal because he said he deleted them and kind of made light to that. Like, look, we all have our different political beliefs. He's also... 20 years old, 21, 22 years old, your political beliefs change over time at times. So he shouldn't be beholden to just what he has tweeted out the last couple of years for his life, that he's always going to be a guy who likes this party or that idea, because you change over time. But I think it's just so stupid, man. Like, look, I have friends who voted for Trump. I did not. I made that clear. And we're still friends. Like, it doesn't affect my life with these people. Like, I don't understand the hatred, I think, for someone who votes for the other party. And I don't get it. But I would have deleted them, not told anybody, and just moved on and learned. Look, you said this. I agree. I think it's better to just not talk about politics if you're an athlete, unless you're really going to know 100% what you're talking about, because people will pick you apart. Yes, fans of both. I've stopped tweeting about politics. It makes no sense to do it. I haven't done it in like a year. If I wanted to, I've written tweets and deleted them. But there's no point. I mean, unless I really want to get into deep conversations, which I really don't. And you're not going to change someone's mind over social media. It's not going to happen. And like you said, the article from New York Times, there's not a lot of people on Twitter in real life, and they all lean left. There's just no point airing political issues on social media, in my opinion. So I like the idea of him not tweeting about it. He should have deleted them. Well, he should have, but just not made it public.
Yeah. Good stuff. That's Jeff Shorts. Go follow him on Twitter. GOFFSCHWARTZ.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.